Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for February 9th of 2022. As I put my barking dog behind me on the other side of the house, that way I get some peace and quiet. Two doors so nobody could hear the 130-pound mastiff raising hell for some reason in the bedroom. Nevertheless, we hope everybody is doing well. And I'm going to introduce our very esteemed panel, starting off from the fine town of Ravenel, South Carolina, our good brother and Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, the amazing Velvet. What's shaking?
Man, ain't nothing, man. You know, day to day, that's what we got to live. So I don't, whatever happens, happens. I just deal with it. whether it's outside, inside, or me, I don't care. It's all good. So, yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm just hanging in there. Had a rough day. Had a bunch of stuff change around and this and that, and I'm like, ugh. So, but other than
like a wrestling card. Card subject
to pretty
change,
much. Huh? Oh, it was all day long. What are you talking about? All day long. From the time I got up to like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Don't call me no more. I'm good.
Yeah, it's never what I always say, the best laid plans never get you laid best.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case where you just end up, you know, it starts with A and ends with B. So, but it's good to have you aboard. You sound good. So it's definitely good to have you here with us tonight. Now I'm going to kick it up north, down the road from me, here in busted North Carolina, my longtime friend and brother, and also a Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, Papa Stro. What's going down?
Oh, man, I'm just happy to be healthy, alive and well. These last few weeks have been really rough, but I'm making a comeback, kicking out, and great to be with you guys.
That's right.
I got a new film that's out on Vimeo now called Stench of Iniquity. You guys get a chance to watch the horror film. That was produced and directed by another buddy of mine, Sheikster. It goes a lot to Comic-Con, a very good artist, amazing character artist, everything. So, Stents of Iniquity is out in Vimeo.
Good. Let's get on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to make sure we repeat that at the end of the show and set some links up and everything. That way folks can easily attain it. That's one of the keys. If you make it easy on people, folks are more likely to bite. That is for damn certain. But yeah, good news, man. Good to have you aboard this evening. Hope you're doing well. Now I'm going to shuffle north to the fine, fine city and the outlying areas or parts unknown of Indianapolis. To my fill-in anchorman in our anchorman's absence right now, and our good brother in arms, Tim. What's up?
What is shaking? I have had a day. Maybe
you were
Velvet.
I just got a question. Did you wipe your ass before you took your pants off? That's why you had a plumbing problem? I mean, come on. Inquiring minds want to know, man.
I won't get started on those plumbing issues for the time being.
Okay, cool.
What I thought was a dishwasher issue because, of course, you know, when something, an appliance goes bad, it's like a three-alarm fire, and I'm suddenly the mayor of Shittsville, who's supposed to be in charge of getting everything, you know, put in order.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short, it was not the dishwasher. There was actually a clog in the drain of the sink, so the dishwasher couldn't drain properly. It would go back in the sink, and then it'd come back out to the dishwasher and go all over the floor. So anyway, I just wrapped that up about 5 minutes ago.
Well, it was a good thing you said what you did, because I could see it now. you would not be on tonight if your wife says, I think we need a new dishwasher. Yeah, I know. The old one, the one we got right now is too lazy to wash dishes. And then, you know, we would not see you again for a while, you know.
I'm glad you did that correctly this time. The road of dishwasher jokes, yeah. We were talking about a dishwasher going bad, and I said, well, we already have another one. You just need to step 3 feet to the left, and we're solved. So,
right?
No, I would not say that out loud. I didn't say it out loud because, as Elvis pointed out, I'd probably be in the ER right now or maybe in a morgue somewhere. But other than that, I'm doing great. I'm ready for a good show. I'm glad to hear Velvet, Rob are on, and looking forward to a good show. Let's do it.
Yay.
Yeah, man. Outstanding. Well, today was the finale for the Book of Boba Fett series. Now, you guys know, folks who listen know, I'm a big, big Star Wars geek. And, you know, I'll be turning a ripe 52 here in May. And you figure it came out in 77. So that would make me, what, like a 45-year Star Wars
veteran.
Junkie.
Yeah.
You like that? So
yeah, sounds like a Steiner mask. That's,
yeah.
That's Scott Steiner mask. Yeah, Papa Pump mask.
Yeah.
Some of that Tom Core mask.
So in other words, you're 30, so you're 45 and a third in.
Yeah, just about how it works. I never got much past 9 years old, but, yeah, I'm still there. I mean, at least I did hit puberty. But.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Book of Boba. Man, here's what I'm going to say to lead things off is I loved it with an asterisk. There's just a little in there that I wish, shucks. I mean, there's so much good about it, but then there's so much tangled stuff in there, too. So, you know, and what are the good things? What are the good things? I like the flashbacks. I know a lot of people like to pan the flashbacks and everything. I thought it was cool as hell to be able to go back and get some more time spent with the Sand People. And, you know, Tatooine itself, that's where it all started. I know there's people out there that say, well, we're so damn tired of seeing sand. Yeah, I understand. But, you know, it's where it all started. And there's so much stuff that was left on the table. It's kind of neat to go back and do some digging. So we got to see more of Jabba's palace. We got to see Jabba's wrecked sail barge. We got to see the inside and the outside of the Sarlacc. We got to see the recovery of the Slave One. We found out that Mad Max Rebo actually made it. My man on the organ, man, kicking ass still. He didn't get blowed up. Good news. So there was a lot of good that happened in the series. But then hit that third episode where they brought where they brought the Power Rangers in there. And
the Twilight of Tatooine.
Yeah. And you want to talk about a square peg and a circle hole. It just
Power
did
Ranger.
Not. Yeah, well, it wasn't pink one. They what were they? They were like green, red, blue, yellow, and like orange, I think, or some shit like that. But
no, if they didn't have the pink velvet one, then they really weren't there because that's not the real one.
I thought it was the invasion of the wokeness at first.
Yeah. And I will tell you, the little mopeds they're driving is definitely something I could picture you on, Velvet. Because it's all chromed
yes.
out.
Yes.
Looked like something out of a 50s movie or something. But it was That was where things started taking water. Now, when I say taking water, are we talking Titanic taking water? No. It's more like a Concordia
more like
taking
Tim taking water.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, or making water, as the case may be. So then we go into episode 5, where you're kind of rubbing your hands together like a fly on a cheeseburger at a damn barbecue, waiting for that next episode, and Boba Fett wasn't in it. It was a Boba Fettless episode of the Book of Boba Fett. So, again, as I've said, it's kind of like getting the taste for a Big Mac, going to McDonald's, ordering a Big Mac. You get home, and they put a quarter pounder with cheese in the bag.
Oh, I was about to say, they didn't put the special sauce on there.
Nah.
So it wasn't a Royale with cheese.
Yeah, the Royale with cheese. It's that metric shit. So yeah. You eat the quarter pounder with cheese. It was delicious, and you're full. But it wasn't the Big Mac you had to taste for. You know, because I'm there to see Boba Fett. I'm not there to see Mando. So episode 6 came along. And I don't know about you guys, but when I know there's a limited amount of episodes, I get impatient as hell. If it's a running series and they have some of these kind of leveled off episodes, you know, like take, for instance, Game of Thrones or Walking Dead or something like that. There's a couple episodes along the way that doesn't really have a whole hell of a lot. It's what they call a story-building episode. That's all good, but when you've only got 6 episodes to play with, you got to keep moving. No time to spare, no time to monkey. And next thing you know, we're with Luke training Grogu. And I was like, am I watching the right damn thing here or what? So, you know, was there a lot of cool stuff in there for a Star Wars geek? Yes. But was it scrambled eggs? Yes. It almost seemed like I was watching 2 different shows in between one another. So
you went to a strip club and you saw Tim on the pole.
Yeah. Yeah, just about. And bad dishwasher
one.
And everything. So it wasn't bad. It was very good. It was just kind of a, I don't know, kind of a head scratcher. And, you know, there's a possibility that somewhere down the road when they get the other series out, I'll go back and rewatch it and actually go, ah, man, shit, this is much better than I gave it credit for. But, I don't know, just kind of strange, a little strange ending today. It was good. I liked a lot of what happened in there. But, again, a lot of question marks. You know, because you're trying to, as you're watching it, you're thinking as Boba Fett, you know, what would I do next if I was Boba Fett? And he wasn't doing anything that I would figure would be his next move. I guess that's because I'm not a galactic bounty hunter, but
he took the day off. He was vacationing. He took the day off.
Well, yeah. even the actor even said that, you know, there are certain things that during the whole series. On set, he would question. It's like, you know, there were times where they would give him a lot of dialogue, and there were times they wouldn't give him enough. And he was like, you know, Boba Fett didn't really say too much. He was just this kicking-ass bounty hunter, basically, his character. And,
right.
And he felt like at times he was kind of going out of the box of what he felt Boba Fett truly was. But that was him saying.
Too much. Yeah.
Right.
Well, take, for instance, like this last episode. Why did he not go get the Slave One? I mean, here's the ship that blew up the Sarlacc. Here's a ship that's lasted all these ages from when his dad had it. You know, the thing is a badass piece of machinery, but it didn't even make an appearance in the show today. And the whole time they've got those claw, those, what they call them, scorpion droids or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, sitting there going, somebody get the damn Slave One out here and blow these sons of bitches the next week. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
So.
It was
kind of
cool, though, seeing him in the Rancor, riding the Rancor.
That was. Yeah, that was. And then the little King Kong moment with the Rancor was pretty cool, too. I enjoyed that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. That was great.
So, now I'll tell you something they did do right that I really thought they nailed was Cad Bane. They really...
Oh, yeah.
He
looked great.
With the lip curling, yeah, with that just... With that sneer that he always has and everything, and whoever does the voiceover for Cad Bane is just spot on with it. And
honestly,
I thought he got.
I mean, there's so much more they could have done with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
So, like
he
you said, he's awesome. Right.
So. Then you have the post-credits, and, you know, the post-credits run, and they show old Cobb Vanth laying in the back of the tank, and then they show the old, the Booker T-looking guy with the tattoo artist dude that puts the, turns you into a Power Ranger, that guy. And I'm thinking, okay. First off, that's pretty lackluster. Second off, does that mean now Cobb Vanth, who's a pretty cool character, is going to become the chief of the Power Rangers?
Oh, joy.
Because I was hoping today's episode was the last I would see of the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah, I was like,
Kim,
you.
Let's
in the
mid-conversation.
And I was like you, though, in the midst of the series, I was really worried the way direction this way was going. But like the last two episodes saved it for me. And I was also like even questioning, like, you know, where are they going with this, especially straight away from the Boba Fett story. But when it all came together in for the finale with the Mandalorian and Grogu coming in to help the fight with Boba and the what was the name that their antagonist? They're fighting with the
Pikes. Yeah, that's it. You know, there, I mean, there was certain. It's another one of those ones, and I've said it before about a lot of stuff. Where if you turn on your eyes and turn off your brain, it's a whole hell of a lot. If you don't go in there with an analytical mind, it helps. Just go in there and have fun, you know. But like Black Chrysanthemum, all right, now this guy's been in the comic books for a while. And then here we are, you know. Again, like I was talking about being 40-some-odd years Star Wars fan, I'm looking at a big Wookiee bounty hunter. How much cooler can it get? Right, and they got on live action stuff now, not just the comic books. I'm going, oh hell yes!
Oh, he's
and
awesome.
The fight that he had, the only time they turned him loose was when he was in that cantina and got a hold of those Trandoshans that were raising hell when they were gambling.
Mm-hmm.
But he was getting his ass beat 90% of the time, and I'm like, God, if you read the comic books, that guy don't ever get his ass beat. I mean, Percent is nasty. So with him, it was
he's
like,
the most intimidating Wookiee I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, this guy had the whole bandito look and, you know, just bigger. And I mean, you know, traditionally we're used to the nice mocha-colored Wookiee, you know, and the friendly growls and all that kind of stuff, like Chewbacca and his stuff. And now here he comes. You know, he's got the gray hairs, the long eyebrows, and all this kind of stuff. He's got the damn braids going on. He's bigger than hell. And you're like, God, this guy is going to destroy things. And
Bigfoot would run from this guy.
Yeah. Dr. John would go up there and try to shake his hand, but Bigfoot would definitely run from him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
hey, you're not Aunt Nicole.
Come over here and meet Aunt Nicole. She's the real thing. She's living in Myrtle Beach. But it just, I don't know. Like I said, there was the geek side of me that really enjoyed it. But then there was the adult side of me that kind of was standing there scratching my head. And, well, like the missile, for God's sake. You know, the Boba Fett's missile in his backpack has so much lore behind it by accident, because we all know about the toy where, you know, it actually launched out of the backpack. Some kid gagged on it, so they recalled all of them. And the rocket was no longer launchable. It was actually glued in to the back.
That's kind of the old school.
You have one of those missiles?
Yeah.
Velvet, you got one of those missiles like Boba Fett does? That shoots off with the wind.
No,
the
I
rocket.
Do not. I wish. Hey.
He calls it his red rocket.
I don't have no rocket.
That must have been real old, because my brothers are like 8 and 10 years older than me, and the one that they've got, it was stationary. So me growing up, I never knew that you could ever get one that actually shot anything out of his backpack.
Yeah, there's only like, I want to say, a dozen of them in existence, but apparently.
Oh well, that makes sense.
Some kid, because what it was is, and here's a little Star Wars history for you. When you would buy the action figures from Star Wars, the first movie, they had a special offer for the new Boba Fett for the upcoming Empire Strikes Back movie. And none of us had ever seen Boba Fett. We didn't know who the hell he was, but nevertheless, he looked cool as hell. And
he did.
You know, so you're taking, you know, all your action figures, you're cutting the little Kenner purchase seal out of the corner of it, and, you know, your mom puts it in an envelope with your name and address and drops the damn stamp on there, puts it in the mail,
heck,
and then you've got to sit like Forrest Gump in front of your mailbox for the next 8 months, wait for the damn thing to fill up.
Yeah. That's how I got my G.I. Joes.
Yeah, man.
Back when I was a kid. You mail in your proof of purchase and your money and sit by the mailbox and wait.
Hell yeah. That's how I got my G.I.
Joe
in one
day. Yeah, I got my G.I. Joe one day, and the next day we blew him up. It was over in 24 hours, baby. He didn't live but 24 hours at my house.
Now, I can say I took real good care of mine, because, you know, the sergeant major was always, you know, whenever you got something from him, you know, you done wrapped something at Christmas, he's, Merry Christmas. I hope you like it. Tear it up. It's the only one you're getting. Hey, open this up. Oh, wow, it's cool. Nice. Good. Glad you enjoy it. You tear it up. The last one you're ever getting.
That's it.
So,
right.
You know, through repetitive nature, we learned that anything we tore up wasn't going to be replaced. So everything became, we were shoving bottle rockets up our ass instead of our G.I. Joes. We figured we can be ran to the Naval Hospital and get fixed, whereas we knew the G.I. Joe wouldn't get replaced. So, but, you know, Boba Fett shot his rocket off in that damn episode, and it didn't do anything. It bounced off of the damn.
Yeah.
I'm going, man, come on, dude. I've been waiting 40 years for this guy to bust somebody's ass with that rocket. He might as well throw some cotton candy at it. And I'm like, God damn it. Do you guys realize how long I've waited for this moment? Come on. So, yeah, it's we got Obi-Wan coming up. And then we got the Bad Batch coming up. And that'll be here April, May. So we probably got a little two-month Star Wars drought. And then, you know, we'll be back. Now, I will say that I've been hearing, and of course it's all hearsay, and unless you stand there and actually witness it, it's secondhand knowledge. But from what I'm understanding is that, you know, Kathleen Kennedy who has turned out to be the wolf in sheep's clothing with Star Wars, this chick is so out there. I mean, the plan she had for Star Wars franchise was just unholy, where she wanted to take, like, real-life issues and put it into Star Wars. She wanted to do, like, Star Wars movies about climate change. She wanted to do Star Wars movies about racial indifference. And
she wanted to do a Star Wars with Elmo.
Yeah. They were even talking about remaking A New Hope. But having all female cast.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I guess she's been pissing in the punch so much that Filoni and Favreau and Lucas, who are like the three amigos trying to keep Star Wars with the traditional thing, that they finally reached a point with her where they said, you know what? Hell with it. Let's put her shit into this show, and when it all goes to hell, we walk up to the brass at Disney and say, see, this is why you need the shit canner. So there's a possibility a lot of this sketchy stuff that was going on in this Boba Fett thing might have been intentionally done. Because sometimes...
You can't just take something that you're trying to almost recreate to the original. But you got a new storyline. Why would anybody even want to do that? Mess it up?
Yeah.
I don't get that. And I don't watch it, and I don't get that. You know?
Well, you know.
That doesn't make sense.
Why do you have to remake it? You know, why do you have to do something that's already done? Why can't you
Because Disney can't come up with anything original. Everybody else, and that's what they've been doing. That's why they keep making money. They'll do that till they have nothing left. There's nothing original. If you look at a lot of their stuff, if it is original, it's crap.
Yeah.
But watch it. Seriously, go look at some of the. Go dive. What you need to do is, if you've got Disney Plus, do a deep dive into it, and you'll see. Wait a minute. Why do we got Saved by the Bell, a new one? Why do we got with this? You know. Why do we got this? Why do we got that? It's the same crap. What's that?
Where it's all recycled. And even the idea.
That it was a terrible idea.
Hey, you want to talk about a terrible idea? You were talking about Power Rangers. Come on, man. It was Voltron, all right? Voltron. They ripped off Voltron.
Yeah.
Oh, they ripped off everybody. What are you talking about? They ripped off Ultraman, Voltron. The list goes on and on. Come on. Stupid.
You know, I never got into Power Rangers. Never did. And nope,
my kids didn't either, so thank God. Or Barney.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the problem. The problem with Power Rangers, and, you know, in all honesty, maybe Voltron is guilty of the same thing. I don't know. But I was a kid, and I thought Voltron was cool, and I just never liked Power Rangers. But why
Correct.
In the world, if it takes them, like, you know, they start off just battling whatever entity by their bare hands. They get their butts kicked. Then they up it up a notch, and they have, like, weapons, whatever. Then they summon, like, some, you know, huge dinosaur that comes out of the water. It's like, why the hell didn't you just start off with that thing in the first place? Why didn't you just bring out the big gun, game over, go home and watch some football? Come on.
my favorite Barney episode was on Beavis and Butthead, where he got his hands caught in fire in the oven, and he's like, help, it sucks.
Dinosaur's burning. Yeah. Fire. Hey, but going to Tim's thing, that was just badass. Why did you do that in the first place? You get it all over with. I mean, come on. But you were a kid, yeah. Tim. They had to hook you in, okay? You had to get hooked. But if you didn't get hooked and knew it was stupid, then you didn't watch it. That's why you watched Voltron.
I know. I know it.
Here's another thing about Power Rangers that kind of gives me a little discomfort. And Velvet, Stro, you guys are going to be able to – you don't have to agree, so that way you can keep your names clean.
No, I don't care about nothing. Go for it.
But when you go to the cons, there's always a Power Ranger at the con, right?
I just want to kick their ass.
And some of them, there's no middle road on these Power Rangers. Either they're the nicest people you met, or they're total prima donnas. And I recall being at a show, and Josh Mayers, and I don't think, Velvet, you've ever met him. I know Stroh's met him. Me and Josh had tables side by side, and we had a steady. I mean, I was doing good. I was selling books left and right. He was selling art left and right. And the two Power Rangers were down on the other end, and nobody was there.
They looked sad.
Right. So, you know, me, I'm trying to be a good sport about things. And
no, you're not.
We've all done it, for crying out loud. At the cons, we're like, you know, hey, signing something for somebody. We're like, hey, if you get a chance, go check out so-and-so. He's a good friend of mine.
Right,
and it's
right.
A good way to pass around the attention, you know, so that way everybody gets you know, a piece of the pie, so to speak. So anyhow, these two Power Rangers, one of the organizers for the event is an old high school buddy of mine, and next thing I know, I see all these staffers going over there to the Power Rangers thing, right? And next thing you know, their entire everything, their tables, their chairs,
hey,
their signs.
I shall return. I'll tell you when I come back. I have to take a call for my son. Something must be up.
Oh,
I'll be back.
Yeah. So they move everything.
Bail money.
Right next to where me and Josh is at. So it didn't bother me none. I didn't care. You know, the more the merrier. I was good with it. So when I spoke to that buddy of mine, I says, God, what was all that about? And he says, well, they were pissed off because you and Josh were getting all the attention down here and nobody was going their way. I says, you got to be kidding me. I says, I'm just a dumbass author. I wrote 3 books. I says, just people are interested in what I got. And I says, plus, I don't sit there like I'm on a high horse. I sit there and I talk to people when they come up to my table. And I talk to their kids, and I ask them about what they do and blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, I says, you know what? And I talk to myself. I says, you know, I got the wrong frame of mind for these folks. They're probably real nice people. Let me go down there and talk to them. So I slipped down there when I had some downtime. And come to find out, you know, I don't know who the actors are because I never watched Power Rangers. But when you tell me, well, I was the Chartreuse Power Ranger. Well, I was the Mauve Power Ranger. Well, I was the Burgundy Power Ranger. Jesus Christ, you're going into damn tertiary colors, man. I mean, give me the green one and the yellow one and the pink one, the ones that, like, start. You know, when you're a maroon Power Ranger, you're not a starter. Just the egos on those guys was amazing. And I'm like, wow, you know. But just the same, you meet his name's slipping me, Stroh, the guy that was right there. You did a film with him, crying out loud. The guy that was there with us at Crystal Coast Con. Guzman.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's Juan.
Yeah.
Jose Guzman.
Uh-huh.
He was a fantastic guy. I mean, yeah. he was great fella. But, yeah, with the Power Rangers, man, I never really got my arms around it. Like I said, everywhere, every con that you go to, some odd – well, I was, you know, the burnt sienna Power Ranger. And I'm like, Christ almighty, they went that deep into the color palette. So,
wrestler friend of mine that was doing the whole Power Ranger bit, right? The whole gimmick with that. And I had a dinner with him at Waffle House one night. Afterwards, we got talking in the parking lot. And he looked in the trunk and someone stole his Power Ranger outfit. And he was freaking out, right? And like the next day, he called me. He told me, he said he saw some kid with his suit dancing around the street. And the kid looked at him, flipped him off, and ran away. Oh, my God.
Now, that's a true Power Ranger. That's what a Power Ranger is.
I don't care what I don't get off topic or go on a tangent or anything, but I don't care what you say. The best story I ever heard of anybody being dressed up as anyone was the story you told Rob around Christmas time about being Santa Claus and the cop pulling you over. That shit was hysterical.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. I wish y'all could have been there to see that one. I never thought in a million years that would have ever happened. My Lord.
So for the sake of argument, Stroh, you're on the spot. You've got to rehash the story, big man. Go for it.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, here we go. Well, I'm coming back home with some midget wrestlers dressed as micro wrestlers dressed as elves, and I'm dressed as Santa Claus. We just did a Christmas party, right? And they're driving in the front, and I'm in the back seat with a bag of goodies I had, the toys and all that. And all of a sudden, you saw sirens and the police lights come behind us, and so the little guys huddled up for a game plan right before we pulled over, right? So as soon as we pulled over, as the policeman was coming towards the car, they ran out of the car holding their butts, yelling, fire ants, right? Screaming, freaking, and the policeman was like, freaking, he didn't know what was going on, right? And he didn't see me yet. I was in the back, so I come out of the car, and I was like, officer, is everything okay? Turn around, he looks at me, and of course, I had that Santa outfit still on, right? And his eyes got real big, right? And he says, he pauses, and he says, Santa? And in my mind, well, I got to milk this. I got to work this right. Do it. So I'm playing the role, right? I'm like, yeah. Yes, this is I, Santa Claus. What would you like for Christmas, young man? And he said he wanted a radio for his son, right? And it just so happened I had a radio in my bag of goodies there for the Christmas party. So I reached in my bag and told him my son says, Merry Christmas, right, and all that. And he's jumping up and down like a kid. He's saying, thank you, Santa. He gets in his squad car, takes off. And all the elves are like looking at me like, did that just happen? And I told him, I said, maybe Santa should drive you all home. And I ended up driving the rest of us home after that. So, tremendous.
You know what would be really good is we tell the story from the cop's point of view. So you call in that you're pulling the car over, you run the tags. You get out of the car, and you slowly ease up to the driver's side, and you run your right hand on there, like they always teach you. And you look in the driver's side window, and you see Stroh with his long ponytailed pulled back in a Santa Claus suit. He's got a three-foot-tall porcelain doll with no eyeballs riding shotgun and two midgets in the back seat. If I'm that cop, I just go, why can't I get shot like all the other cops? You guys have a good night. I'm going back to my car, you know?
Oh, God. Did I tell you this Dorothy story one time? I'm driving to an event, right? And a guy pulls up on the other end of the lane, right? He looks my way, right? And he freaks out like he's seen a ghost or something. He pulls over to the side of the road, right? I'm like, what's his deal? So later on, I pulled over to find out what he was looking at in the back seat. And when I parked and I looked in the window, there's Dorothy pressed against the window with her hand like she's like waving. I'm like, oh my God. Tremendous.
That's damn true. Yeah, that would definitely be unnerving, without a doubt. But yeah, when it comes
I like the old email. This is back before the days of Facebook and all that, before, you know, social media really was invented. And so we just had, you know, everyone shared around emails, whatever. And I mean, this one was one that was doctored up. It was fake, but still the concept was freaking hysterical. It showed a dude, it showed two pictures. I don't know, maybe three, but basically it was kind of like a before and after type thing. And it shows somebody and they're tying balloons to the back of their car. And what it was, it was to the back of the car, and what it was is a helium balloon, and it was basically this, it looked like a heat-seeking missile, you know? And it was tied, there was a string tied to the nose, and I mean, you know, whatever, it didn't work, it was a balloon. So, and again, like I said, I'm sure it was doctored up, but, you know, what they can do with pictures nowadays. But anyway, so you're looking and you're like, the hell is that all about? Okay, so he's got a helium balloon tied to the trunk of his car, you know, and the string is, you know, attached to the nose of the thing. Well, then it shows him driving away. And, of course, it, you know, whatever takes effect, whatever laws of physics takes effect, and the thing's basically trailing him. So it looks like he's got a missile just tailing his car. And then you've got other people driving by like, holy crap, what's going on? So, again, wow. You know, I mean, in reality, I doubt it looked like anything, but the email sure was funny as hell.
Oh, well, never a dull moment. That was back before people got butt hurt over jokes.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that was having little issues here with the phone. There we go. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Had a little concern there. Technology, baby. But anyhow, going back to the Star Wars thing. So if we've got we went ahead and hammered on the question marks out of that Boba Fett thing. So like any other turd sandwich, you always want to put the good stuff on the outside and the bad stuff in the middle. So let's work on the outside of Boba Fett. What was some of the stuff that y'all thought was awesome that they killed it?
Velvet's not here. Velvet will want to work on the inside of Boba Fett. Oh!
I'll show you my malfunctioning rocket, mister. I'll show you a rocket that can't penetrate anything. I guess the good thing Granny isn't here tonight with all the weenie jokes we've already been throwing around. Poor thing. Every time she gets on here, like, everything goes into dick jokes for some reason. But nevertheless, like I said earlier, I thought one of the things they absolutely crushed was Cad Bane. They did a
job. Yeah.
Everything from the clothes to the way he walked to his damn expressionisms, everything was, And I don't know, I don't know if that was CG with his face or if that was actual costume mechanics and that kind of stuff. I don't know. But the face control on that thing was unreal. I mean,
yeah,
between his eyes squinting up and the sneer that he had and the damn teeth, man. Got them busted old tribal teeth going on and everything. I'm like, yeah, this is badass, you know. But I thought they totally killed the Cad Bane side of it. I thought they did, with the exception of the very end. I don't think he's dead. I think, hell, Maul's been brought back a couple hundred times. I mean, the guy gets cut in half. The guy gets dumped down to the shaft. You know, all kinds of stuff happens to him, and damn, Maul's still growing at it. So I don't think Bane is done. Plus, if you were listening, when he was there on the ground, you could hear a beeping sound. What it was, I don't know, but you could hear this beeping sound, almost like it was like a homing beacon or something like that. So Who knows? You know, could it be one of these things where he was already sending a message to his ship to come get him, or some person, entity out there floating around to come and got him, carried him off. So I don't think he's dead. But damn, the fan did a good job with him, hands down. Oh. So what kind of good, what other kind of good did they have on that series? Well, I thought they did good with the Rancor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Rancor was another one of those, and let's face it, I mean, well, hell, Stro, you're, what, a year or two younger than I am. You know, in 83, when Rancor, you know, when they dropped Luke down there in Rancor, yeah, you walked away from the movie. You're like, what in the hell was that thing? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it was cool as hell. And for years, and again, Return of the Jedi came out in 83. Here we are in 2022, 40 years later, and we're finally getting to see one of these things in action outside of just the clunky stuff we had in Return of the Jedi. And, yeah, I was like, this is awesome. I mean, even when they had him brought in on the sled and had him sedated and blindfolded, damn, Danny Trejo was the damn, you know, the Rancor keeper and everything. I said,
yeah,
damn, this is done correctly, you know, and having Boba Fett ride him and stuff, I thought that was killer.
No, yeah.
Because in, I think it was Force Unleashed, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
You ran up on Shaak Ti, and I think it was Felucia where it was at. Can't quite remember, but nevertheless, you actually got to ride one of those in that video game. And still, you know, that was the closest thing you had outside of, you know, references in the books and everything. So to see this thing actually out there kicking some ass was pretty damn amazing. I thought it was cool as hell.
I thought it was really cool to see Ahsoka and Luke Skywalker had some interaction in the episode before. That was pretty amazing. And Ahsoka, you know, has got history with Luke's old man, you know, Anakin. So that was really cool to.
That was, and the way they did Luke this time around, it didn't look blocky. It looked
natural.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked real good. And apparently there was supposed to be a scene that was cut from tonight's episode that Han and Chewbacca actually showed up.
Oh.
And they did the same thing with Harrison Ford with that aging technology or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, apparently, and again, this is all hearsay and all, but what happened is they had a bunch of reshoots going on because they couldn't come together on the way the storyline was going. And they were adding, subtracting, taking in, taking out. And they were even, like, up to a week ago, were still doing edits on today's episode.
Oh,
and there was even some planning to just go ahead and say, hey, guys, we're going to make a bonus episode. Since you guys, you know, like this so much, we're going to throw a bonus episode in there. Because they couldn't make their mind up what to cut and what not to cut. And apparently somebody intervened and they said, well, here, this is what we're going to take, you know, this is what we're going to do, take it or leave it. And that's how we ended up with today's episode, where it was kind of, you know, a little choppy. But, yeah, again, that's rumor. Don't know if it's true, but, you know, when you got old Kathleen Kennedy over there steering the car, ain't nothing shocks me. She's a piece of work.
Mm.
You know, if you and the damnest thing about her is that she was pretty much Lucas's Tonto for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got, you know, when Lucas sold Star Wars, one of the things that he put in the sale to Disney was, hey, not only am I going to sell it to you, but I want her to be in charge of it. And then she went in there, and I guess the power went to her head and turned it into some type of, you know, treehouse. And it's a shame. But hopefully they'll get it back around, and as long as Filoni and them are holding the reins, I think it'll come back around. We'll see with this upcoming stuff.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because, now, did you guys see the Bad Batch last year?
Negative. That's why I'm not able to contribute much to. I haven't seen any of Boba Fett. In fact, I only saw a few episodes of Mandalorian. I liked it. I was a little thrown off at first. I didn't realize it was going to be, you know, each show is its own story. I thought it would be a series to where, you know, one would lead into the other. But I liked it. There wasn't any particular reason why I stopped watching it. In fact, I think it was more or less because we were borrowing, quote-unquote borrowing, my daughter's account to watch it. Because wasn't that on – isn't that on the Disney Plus or something?
Yeah, so
we didn't have full access to that, but, you know, I saw a few. I liked it, but, yeah, you guys are kind of over my head with all the Boba Fett talk. I just haven't. I've been into Ozark. I don't want to derail the convo, though, but, yeah, Ozark. I've been binge-watching Ozark every freaking night.
Now, Ozark is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Stro, you watching Ozark at all?
Yeah, yeah. Try to catch it when I can.
It's basically who's going to get offed by either a cartel or a mob or whoever tonight. It's like, who's going to bite the dust first tonight?
Yeah. And all of them are playing it to the hilt. I mean, everybody. Old Justin Bateman's killing me because he's the the guy who he's got the passive aggressive thing down to a damn science, and you know, then you got the wife who's just a manipulator. I mean,
oh my god, yeah, she can be cold hearted. Like, damn, man.
And we're supposed to be cheering. And, you know, if you recall at the beginning of the series, you know, Justin Bateman really wasn't a bad guy. It was his business partner that was doing shady deals and got him in it. But in the meantime, he was already dealing with Wendy running around on, you know, behind his back. So he was already dealing with her with the infidelity. So, you know, she was already off to a bad start.
But what I really like about his character, he's blunt and he doesn't try to beat around the bush or you know, try to make shit up. I mean, if he needs to say something to whoever, and I just started season three, so no spoilers on me here.
Oh, really?
But, you know, in the first few seasons, he, you know, like if he's going to approach somebody and they're not too sure of his character, like what his intentions are, he just lays it out. He's like, this is the deal. And they're like, well, shit, now that you put it that way. Blunt, man.
Yeah.
And he's freaking smart. He's smart on his feet, man. He gets himself out of whatever, does whatever it takes. But, yeah, I like that show a lot.
Yeah, they've done a real, real, real good job with that show. I just got done wrapping up the first part of the fourth series that just came out last week. And, man, I think it's 7 episodes long. Just give yourself a day. If you got a day off, get up, crank it up in the morning, and just watch all 7 of them back to back to back to back. And,
wow.
Yeah. It's you, and the nifty thing about the story writing on that is that you never can tell what in the hell is going to turn out. You know, it's
yeah.
You know, they're going on one thing, they're in the office talking about X, and somebody knocks on the door. They open up the door, and Y is standing at the door. The last person you would thought that ever would show up in that scene shows up in that scene, and it totally disrupts everything you were thinking. And that's the genius behind the writing of that show, is that it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
You can't get up and pee. You got to watch the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
But Wendy is a manipulative, conniving, cold, self-important bitch, man. But you end up cheering for her. You're watching the show and you're hoping she does good. Like, God, she's the meanest one in the bunch, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, that she would only be doing it. She's only doing it to save her family. And you know what I mean? But it's like, at the same time, she doesn't have a problem doing it. You know what I mean? It comes easy to her. If that's what she's got to do, that's what she's got to do. And she's willing to do it for her family, you know?
Well, she's also got that sociopathic thing about her where.
Oh yeah.
She does bad things for her family, but if you really put it on paper, she does the worst stuff for her family. You know what I mean? The stuff that she does is far worse than the stuff that she's trying to prevent.
Right.
And But talk about an awesome character. I mean, whether you like her or not, it's just the character base and the idea behind her is just awesome. I mean, and then you've got
I'll tell you who's grown on me is Ruth. She's grown on me. I like her.
She killed him. She didn't get on there. She's like, I don't know shit. And all y'all kiss my ass.
So one of the last things I saw, because I think you guys are probably ahead of me, so I'm probably safe. Papa Stroh, I don't know how far along you are, but one of the last things that happened was in the casino, what's-his-face, the son of the guy, the KC mob, he was there. He was running his damn mouth, sitting at the poker table where there's a $50,000 buy-in. He ends up running his mouth, comes over, and I think he threatens her, and you know, to squeal and say he's going to let everybody know what she's all about. And she just hauls up and just racks him, man, kicks him right in the nads, and he goes down. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, that just – that's one of my favorite scenes of her in it.
Yeah, that damn trailer they live in. I mean, it's like, can it get any more tore up? You know, it's
right.
Nice piece of land, but that trailer is struggling, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it's a good show. It's well done. And granted, it's like everything else, you know, and where you're at, I don't want to get too deep into the plot because anything you mention about that show is a potential spoiler. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's such a tangled story plot. But you, as it continues on, you know that there's sooner or later got to be a reckoning. It's almost like watching Breaking Bad. You know, after the third series of Breaking Bad, you're like, how long can this guy keep this shit up? You know what I mean? Without either,
for sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets like that. And this fourth season, you're just scratching your head like, holy shit, these people probably haven't slept in weeks. You know, there's no way with everything that's going down. I mean, that fourth season, every minute is a different twist. It just keeps you totally on your toes. So it's some awesome stuff. I enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm one of those weirdos that when I'm watching the show, I don't know if this is considered being over analytical, but it's not of like, it's the stupid details. It's like I don't know. I think women do this shit. So I must have a little bit of feministic features or something when I'm watching shows, because I look at it and I'm looking at them like chilling, having a cocktail, sitting down on the back porch. And I'm thinking to myself, damn it, that is such a sweet crib, but how can they even like relax and enjoy it because their lives are so effed up? I'm like picking out all the cool shit about their house, and I'm like, damn, too bad they're not like, you know, they can't just chill and relax. But, you know, at times, I guess they figure out how to do it. You know, they just. But I would be like just a ball of anxiety in that boat. I mean, I don't think I'd be able. I'd just be constantly looking over my shoulder if I were in their shoes, because you know, like you said, something's gonna happen. There's, I don't know.
Yeah, you just can't keep going. Well, it's like the end of the first season. I mean, the end of the first season, man, because you've seen the first season all the way through, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So without getting that damn crazy Snell bitch, I mean, that was the last thing that I thought was going to happen at the end of that thing. And she's a trip. She's uglier than hell, but she's a trip. I can't remember her first name, but Snell, the one who was in Poppy Farm.
Is that when she took out I don't know who all is listening on. Yeah, the cartel dude, right?
Yeah. This is the guy they all been running from through the whole thing, and the next thing you know, she comes up like, hey, well, I guess that's fixed, you know. Darlene.
Hey, Velvet.
Velvet's
in the queue.
Velvet's back on. Yeah, let me go up there. Tim, you carry on. I'm going to go click.
All right. So, that was a pretty wild one, what he's talking about. And again, Pop, I don't know. I don't know how far along you are. But that one was pretty wild, because you're thinking that's the whole time. That's, you're thinking that is the main guy that they have got to satisfy, so that they can stay out of his crosshairs, you know. So they're trying to avoid him, and then it was pretty damn graphic, too.
Hey.
She off that dude, and his head went everywhere. What's up, Velvet?
Oh, wow.
What's up? Did I miss nothing then, obviously?
Correct.
We're still talking about Boba Fett? Come on.
No, we were talking about your Red Rocket.
Oh, thank you. At least we weren't talking about your plumbing problems. You know, pull your pants down first, then use the toilet paper when you're done. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
Unless you're going to take a shower.
Right.
Don't
continue
wipe
with the toilet
bill. Now, I'll tell you what I'm binge watching right now is Deadwood. You guys remember Deadwood? It was on HBO back 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been, I've been rewatching that now. It's been, I think I fell off of it after the second season. So I didn't see the third season, and I didn't see the movie that came out a couple of years ago. So currently watching that, but I've forgotten how funny Al Swearengen is in that thing. I mean, Ian McShane just kills it playing Al Swearengen. I mean, funnier than hell. Just his one-liners, and he's not meaning to be funny. He's just this, you know, exasperated boss is what he is. And, you know, if you've ever been a manager of anything, if you've ever been in charge of anything, you can watch Al and you're thinking, God, I've been in that exact same situation where you're just so down at the end of your wits with your help that you're just, you know, you just can't, you know, you can't take not a mother. Or if you're like me, you admire the fact of how bad they can get. As a matter of fact, there's a young man I work with now, and I walked up to him the other day, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I says, you know what, I'm going to tell you something. I says, I've been doing this for coming up on 38 years. Been doing this stuff in 1985. He says, yeah, Mr. Dave. I says, and I want you to know that you have got to be probably top three of the worst that I ever had to deal with. I wasn't nasty about it.
Wow. And if you felt something with my shoulder on your, with my hand on your shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said,
go ahead.
You know, it's hard to find people that do as little and care as little as you do. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal because I've worked with a lot of knuckleheads in my time, but I got to tell you.
You need the trophy.
If I ever write a book about my retail, you will definitely be in the chapter about losers. And he looked at me.
No, participation trophy kid.
And I was just praying this guy would take a swing at me. And he looked at me like he almost appreciated what I was telling him. And I'm like, God, I can't embarrass this guy and get him productive. You know, it's like, my God.
That's funny. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll
But yeah, Al, there's some lines that he has in that show that just has me in tears because I get it. You know, where you ask your help to do a simple task, and they still can't get it done, and you're just like, Christ, why do they even bother, you know? But I think I've got about halfway through the second season. And like I said, I got the third season and the movie to watch, and then I'll be moving on to something else, maybe perhaps The Witcher. I know I haven't watched that yet. So Rob said that was good. Or I might turn to this Yellowstone thing. My wife is all about the Yellowstone and this.
There's a lot of people that love that. Yeah. A lot of people love that show.
And then the offshoot of that, the 1888 thing with Sam Elliott.
Yep.
I'll watch it just because Sam Elliott's in it. He's cool as shit. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a legit badass, man. Don't let old man fool you. Shit, I wouldn't bark up his tree the wrong way. Screw that.
Nah, Sam Elliott was.
There's few people in the industry like him, and a few others like Clint Eastwood was a legit badass. Van Cleef was a badass. I mean, but it's just. If you know who's who, and you know who's a legit badass. Even Hollywood knows who the legit badasses are. They're glad they're old and dying off because they don't want them no more. That's why they're doing these Disney Plus and all these other places you can find streaming services because they don't put up with Hollywood's bullcrap. Sam Elliott could give two. You know what's less about what they got going on. That's why he does his own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I watched Cry Macho the other day. That just turned up on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't bad. The ending was really strange. The ending kind of was one of those, I would compare the ending to going out on a date and mm-hmm. having the absolute time of your life, and your date is having a good time.
Oh, by the way, I'm a man.
You're having a good time. You pull up in front of her house, and you put the car in park, and she jumps out of the car and goes, "Thanks, I had a great time tonight. Bye." And you're kind of like,
"Oh, I like my ending better." You get the kiss, and by the way, I still got a penis.
Yeah, that was a bachelor party.
That's Tim's fault, man. Tim gets that all the time. That's why he's waiting on Velvet to do the drive-by. Sorry, Tim, he's loud you out, bro. My
Where's
bad,
that
Tim.
White van at?
He's
coming here sooner or later. Where's that white van at?
He's going to say, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, Tim's in the back of the white van going, "There's no candy in here. There's
and,
to be
and, you hear,
in this
place." And you hear, wait, and then you hear, and the door shut.
Yeah,
Velvet's going to
roll. Hear the Tom Petty music playing.
He's going to roll up
no.
and see me cleaning the pool or something. He's going to say, "Jackpot."
That's awesome. I love it. It's great. It was fucking great, Tim. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Jackpot. Holy crap.
Yeah. That was great.
Spot on.
You want to talk about the white van, right?
Ugh.
We are in... God, where were we at? I want to say we were in Myrtle Beach somewhere at a store. And I go
That's
to
not
Myrtle
surprising
Beach
already.
And, yeah. And Dale, she goes to Myrtle Beach to shop. So there's a lot of times I get a little unnerved when I'm standing in a Target in Myrtle Beach and I'm thinking, I drove 2 hours.
I have a Target. Right, I have a Target right here.
Yeah, when
exactly.
I go to the Target,
my wife
right,
does
I'm
same shit. Oh, I know.
And I get the dry sarcasm going and this, that, and the other. So anyhow, wherever we were at, they started playing Tom Petty's American Girl. You remember that
oh,
song,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you recall Silence of the Lambs, when Buffalo Bill gets out of the van, that's the song playing when he had the couch hanging out the back of the van.
Oh, that's right.
And
right. You're right.
So I walk up to Dale, right, and mm-hmm. I do my Buffalo Bill voice, and I go, "Are you a size 14? And she says, "What are you talking about? Are you a size 14? And she says, "No, I'm not a size 14. Why? What's your problem? Well, this guy who's a couple of feet away, I guess he got it. And he started laughing. And I turned around and looked, and I said, "Can you help me load this couch up?" And he points up at the the music thing. He goes, "I heard it too, man." He says, "Every time I hear this song, I can't help but think about it." So, of course, I had to sit there and explain the whole thing to Dale. Okay, you remember when Buffalo was Bill was getting the chubby chick in the white van with the help of the sofa, and he asked her if she was a 5'14 because he needed the bigger chicks to fit the skin for him to wear when he did the old tuck ass and the whole new yard. It's like, why am I explaining this to you? I'm going home with this guy.
Right.
He gets it, you know? Every time I hear that song, though, all I think about is Buffalo Bill. It rubs the lotion in its skin or else it gets the hose again. That's right, precious. It gets the hose. And then she grabs the man's dog. And I mean, you know, don't ever screw with a guy's dog, man. Come on. I don't care how far down in the pit he's got you. I don't care how much lotion he's making you rub in your skin. Don't screw with a man's dog. Come on. Old Bill stressing out.
Boy.
Precious.
Where did Stro go? He's awful quiet. Pinch him. Somebody pinch him.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just
all that
very entertained. Very entertained by the conversation.
Did the Buffalo
Bills? No, but I thought you missed the Santa Claus. You missed the Santa Claus story.
Yeah, you missed that one, Velvet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I irritated your conversation. I mean, I can go away again, you know.
No, no, you're fine. I'm very entertained.
You sound like you got no sleep, dude.
Helmet.
No,
had the door.
I'm good.
Had the tops. Yeah.
Gotta have the velvet element. That's right. Jackpot.
Yeah. How can you top that? Jeez.
Tim gets the prize for tonight. When he did that,
yeah.
I about wet my pants.
Rock and roll.
Do it again. Jackpot.
And now we're back to plumbing.
Jackpot. You were
sounds
dude,
like Paul Barrett.
Oh, yes.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
That is so fun. Tim's
that's
got
like
a good
cool material there.
Have to practice.
You ever see The Family Guy where they did the spoof on? They did three of them, one for each in the original trilogy. So they did the Star Wars, and they had the old guy, the pervert was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he had his lightsaber was limp, and it was just kind of draped over and hanging down.
Yeah,
and then what's his face walks in and it just goes straight up.
Chris walks in. And he does his eyebrows, where he does his eyebrows up and down. He's like, oh my. I love Herbert. Oh, my God, that guy's so funny. Rest in peace, the voice of Herbert. I'm sorry, but damn, that shit's funny.
Yeah.
That shit's funny, man. God, dog.
The thing that killed me on Family Guy is Bruce. Bruce cracks me up with the, oh, no. Him.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, no.
And Cleveland puts me on. Cleveland cracks me up. That's just nasty.
You got to go.
Cleveland.
Peter.
Hey,
Cleveland.
No.
Which reminds me, I saw both of the
Peter.
Ted movies. Those are freaking hysterical. Ted movies are awesome. They may have the same voices. I don't give a shit. It's still funny shit.
No, I don't give it. I don't either. It's funny.
Yep.
It is funny.
I don't know if you guys.
Hey, my name's Donnie Baker. What?
Dr. Evil is supposed to be making a comeback at the Super Bowl.
Oh.
No.
I spent summers in Rangoon. My father was a womanizer. Scotty, are you evil yet, Scotty? Are you quasi-evil?
like the Belgians.
Of evil.
The Belgians.
No, you're not. No.
It's because you're not evil enough. You're the Diet Coke of evil.
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Why can't I get sharks with freaking laser beams on them?
Well,
love that.
That'd be great if the Rock's going to be there. He's supposed to be there, do like the pregame stuff, I guess. If he's going to be there and Dr. Evil's over there, they can put their two heads together and, like, make a, you know what, of themselves.
Oh, wow.
They'd be like twins, you know what I mean? And they can, like, go through the finger to the mouth like Dr. Evil does. It'd be great.
Yes. I have the perfect crooked pinkies. I can do it on either side, and my daughter goes, stop that. Because I started shaving my head bald, and I would stick my finger up. My daughter would pull my hand down. She goes, stop that. Because I like doing, like, she would sit next to me in restaurants and stuff like that, and I would just slowly take my hand up and go, I would like the sweet tea, please.
Yeah. If you could smell what Dr. Evil's cooking. Yeah.
That's right. The evil rock. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Rock evil. Man, somebody's beating the brakes off me again.
Hands down, every time I see it, I've seen it a million times, and I laugh harder every time I see it, is when Goldmember hits that, Dr. Evil, can I paint you gold? That's my short thing, you know? And then he sits there, and there's like this 30-second pause where he's driving the chair all the way over there to Goldmember, and he hits the, how about no? You crazy Dutch bastard.
Oh, gosh.
How about you?
Come on, my dad, Bob Munchkin.
Children. If there's never been, I mean, anybody who's a parent has had a time where their kid has asked something so asinine that you felt like you had to walk all the way across the house to get right up in his face.
I've done that. No. Oh, I've done that. Better walk away, then come back. Oh, yeah.
Hey, who's going to be the entertainment for the halftime show this year? Do you know?
Oh, Christ, yeah. It's
I forgot.
Snoop Diggity Dogg.
No,
Dr.
no.
Dre,
Eminem. Eminem and somebody else.
Mary J. Blige.
Oh, my God.
I could do
it
without her, but okay.
I think Barbara Streisand.
I think they're getting dumber and dumber with these
kidding
things.
Me? We'll just throw her in there.
Barbara
Streisand.
Wow.
Can
rap,
you hear me?
No, she's going to rap, man. Stop it. Snoop Dogg's going to actually sing, and she's going to rap. There we go.
Wow.
Yeah,
can you feel this? Yeah. Can you feel this?
I got to be honest with you. If those guys can make it through the halftime show without dropping an N-bomb, an F-bomb, or grabbing their junk, it'll be.
Happen. No.
I mean,
you know. Go ahead.
I mean, whoever the guy.
Doing well, they at least grab their junk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in the trailer doing the production stuff that's in charge of the little beeper, the little sensor beep,
I mean,
that guy better take some Red Bull. I mean, he's going to have to be on his toes.
We are due for a Super Bowl blunder. We're due because we had Janet Jackson, and anybody who had the, what did you call it, TiVo or whatever, you could stop anybody who could. Now you don't have to. You just look it up on YouTube. You can find the boob pop out, you know. But, yeah, Janet Jackson's thing. And then who is the chick that was doing it with Madonna, and she flicked off the camera? And I guess Madonna got
Miley
all pissed
Cyrus
off. She got, no, it wasn't Miley Cyrus. Dang it.
I don't know. How about there was a chick 1 year that was lip syncing. She wasn't even singing. And they caught that because there was a delay. There was a 5-second delay.
Was that Britney? She pulled a Mariah Carey at New Year's Eve.
I don't remember who it was. I know that happened.
Yeah,
it was a big to do.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, I thought old Jennifer Lopez and Shakira did good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for some Latin chicks shaking their ass. I'll watch that all night. But all that aside, I thought they put on a hell of a show. And, of course, you had a couple 400-pound women out there that were offended by their halftime. And I'm like, yeah, you're offended because last year was
the weekend, wasn't it? The weekend.
Yeah,
wasn't
where
it?
He was walking in that hall
horrible.
Of mirrors thing.
Horrible.
That was ridiculous.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I could have done without
that.
I could have watched anything but that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, I will say this. When Mike Tyson did his charity fight for Roy Jones on pay-per-view, Snoop came out and did like a 45-minute concert prior to the Tyson fight. And Snoop was actually good. Now, granted, he comes out there with his big-ass blunt, and he's, you know, burning weed, and he's rapping, he's carrying on. But he put on a good show.
Yeah, could be completely obliterated and still do that.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was spot on. And then he went and called the Tyson fight, and he made the fight. And
that's why I said
a bunch of times, comes down to doing the announcing and that kind of stuff. You know, who's going to do Monday Night Football? Who's going to do this? Get somebody like Snoop. Get somebody like Mike Tyson. They might not be politically correct, but damn if they ain't funny.
Hilarious.
Funny. Mike Tyson.
If you can imagine, if you can imagine these guys calling a football game.
Oh my God.
I mean, if you ever listen to Mike Tyson call MMA fights, it's better than the fight because he's in there going, oh,
he got it right upside the face with that one. He's going to wake up with a bruise. We got it nasty quick.
I mean, and Snoop had me in tears when he was calling that damn Tyson fight because, you know, Roy Jones was leaning all over Tyson. Tyson actually looked good, but Roy Jones was leaning all over him, and Snoop said something about this looks like two of my uncles fighting at a barbecue. But, yeah, I'm curious to see. I don't know. I don't know. It's the NFL's feeding into the woke stuff. And if we as a planet, I'm done just bitching about America, if we as a planet haven't noticed how this woke stuff has divided us, then you're just truly up your own tree. And,
pretty much.
You know, that's, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, how all it goes, but I don't know. Normally with, you know, funny story about the Janet Jackson thing, you guys brought that up. When that was happening, I was at a Super Bowl party, had a bunch of the guys, we were out there partying, you know, the wives were talking about the dips they brought over, all of us guys are getting tore up. Well, Super Bowl starts, and we all got to piss. Right? So we're all running outside taking a piss. We're all, you know, grabbing new drinks and everything. And we're not paying any mind to the halftime show. So the halftime show is wrapping up and we're all kind of getting back in. We're all getting back in place. And just by that time, Justin Timberlake pulls her shirt down. And I remember going, you know, there was a whole room full of people. I went, was that a titty?
Right.
You know, I thought it was just my eyesight, you know. I was like, but it was funny. It was just one of those, you know, where I had that whole astute thing about it. I'm like, was that a titty? You know. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, another Super Bowl
that's
history. And so I've got the British
Super
lady reminding me every 30 seconds we're getting ready to go into extra innings. So.
She'll be all
right. Figure what I'll do is go ahead and pass it around the room, parting shots, and put an end to tonight's broadcast. Hit showers, hit the rack so I can be up at ass 30 to go to work tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
Yep.
Hear so, that.
As usual, I'm going to start off with good brother Stroh because that guy has got the biggest booking thing going on right now with all
yes,
the dull lives. Stroh never has a dull moment. So,
nope.
Stroh, talk to me.
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com, we'll be talking about dream matches. So if you've got a dream match you want to share, please call in. It should be a good time. And then Friday night, I'm a horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, on my Facebook page. Facebook.com/StrolleTheMaestro at midnight Eastern Standard Time. This Friday night's feature will be Horrors of Spider Island, so please tune in for that. And then Saturday, I'll be a special guest at the Statesville Comic-Con at the Statesville Civic Center, Statesville, North Carolina. I'll be there from 10 to 5, sign autographs and all that good stuff. And then I'll be a guest for the cosplay contest later in the evening. So if you're in the Statesville, North Carolina area, come by and see us. And more information on the Statesville Comic-Con, hit them up on their Facebook page. And it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you all.
Always a pleasure to have you, man. And, man, it feels good to get back into the con scene, ain't it?
It sure does.
Back into the groove of and there's a certain amount of excitement that comes with these cons, no matter what side of the table you're on. And, for those of us, pushing autographs and books and art and everything like that, it is just so cool meeting up on, meeting folks, meeting the kids. And it's just good we're able to get back at it. And start, because I'm here to tell you, when it comes down to the coronavirus, if you've ever gone to a Comic-Con and survived, then you ain't got to worry about the coronavirus. Because if you're going to catch some type of damn communicable disease, it's going to be at a con. I mean, the germs are bouncing off the walls in these cons. So if you haven't died after going to one of them, then by God, you are going to be fine. I don't care how many times you get jabbed, but yeah, it does my heart good to see it back in motion. I can't wait till May, heading to Myrtle Beach for XCon. So that one's going to be,
That's May. Cool. Keep me informed on that one.
Will do. And I'm going to try to get, Brad and Jen Miller on the show, coming up here. In the next couple shows to promote it.
Cool.
Now that they're running it.
Absolutely.
And they're all part of the Comic-Con family of ours, that John Stamey built over the years and everything, and they're fantastic people. And they now are running XCon, and I can't wait to see the results. So be good to have them on, let them toot the horn a bit, and promote the show, because I really think it's going to do nothing but good for that show. That thing's got an awful lot of potential, and it just needs to be handled correctly. So, yeah, I will definitely keep you in the loop, because that's not far from Ravenel. We go out there and raise some hell together.
Right.
Be
that's
good
what I'm
to
saying.
Go.
I can come see you guys. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah. Stro, been wonderful having you aboard this evening, young man. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Talk to me. What kind of engagements or parting shots do you have?
Pro Wrestling Interviews every Sunday night. ProWrestlingInterviews.com will take you to our Facebook page. You can go back and look at past sessions we've had, podcasts, and see who all's been on. You can also look us under Blog Talk, under Pop Culture Stars. We're under that realm with y'all. Go check it out. Go check this one out. Go check Pro Wrestling Interviews out. Definitely tomorrow, check out WCW Retro Dream Matches. And I have to give a shout out to In the Room on Tuesday nights. They plug our show, which I'm grateful and thankful for. And it's a good partnership to have that with Brady Hicks and the gang. So he asked me to do something. I'm still digging the pictures up for him. I will send them to you, Papa Stro, and you can send them to Brady of Malcolm's car.
All right. Can't wait.
Yeah, because he asked for him. I'll make sure I will get the Kenny Stabler signature picture right. I think the one I have is blurry. the one I have
that's
I think
awesome.
Is blurry, so I'll go do it again. Yeah, it's gonna be funny. You're gonna die when you see this car. It's like, oh really?
Oh, I can't,
you rode
I can't,
from
I can't
Vegas
wait.
To South Carolina in that?
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a cancellation on a guest. So again, 2 weeks in a row cancellation on a guest. We had Susan last week. Was got some new stories out of her, which is awesome. So hopefully we'll dive into some more with her down the road. So yeah, tune in. Pro Wrestling Interview Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So thank you. Join us. I love Pop Culture Stars. You guys are great. We have fun. We really didn't fall down a rabbit hole, which was pretty good. We could have a couple times, but we didn't. Y'all held it together. You know, except for Tim. Everything's good.
I know it.
I love you, Tim. You know it. I'm gonna take Tim ice fishing with me. We're gonna go ice fishing, bro.
Sweet.
Old damn Velvet be out there rolling, listen, rolling quarters, listen. Just throwing them on the ground, waiting for Tim to pick them all up.
Right.
So Tim, before you get violated, man, what kind of parting shots do you have?
We got a trap door waiting for you.
Well, I guess I'm boring compared to the rest of them. I don't have any wrestling coming up.
We
I'm not
you,
wrestling
bro.
Anybody. I don't have any shows coming up. I'm not doing anything. I'm
there
doing
do.
The dad
this
thing
one.
And I'm doing a work thing. Well, there you go. Yeah, so next week, Wednesday, I'll be doing Pop Culture Stars at about 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be talking up some more bullshit there and maybe some more shows and recapping on the Super Bowl. That's about it, man.
You fucking
That's
break.
It for me, my parting shot. Had on today. I got a good
no,
time
No, you forgot
tonight.
To say one
Love.
Thing. Say your favorite
What's
word.
That?
Come on, you know the
I'm
word
trying
you
to
said
pick,
earlier.
I'm trying to pick which one it is. Yeah.
Jackpot.
There you go.
I love you. All right,
I'm
that
out here.
Laugh. Yeah, okay.
Get some miles off of that, man. That's for damn certain. Well, Tim, it was great having you
on
this
it
season,
now.
Man.
Yeah,
we
man.
Appreciate it. And
God,
hopefully you get some rest tonight now that the dust has settled with your dishwasher issues. So, but, yeah, been great having you guys aboard this evening. Appreciate all the help of the show. And on my end of things, just there's a – outside possibility, and it's being worked on right now, that I'm going to go ahead and get this fourth book released.
Nice.
Here in April. So.
Good.
And I've been squatting on it for like 2 or 3 years now to release it, and there's some light at the end of the tunnel from a publishing standpoint, so it might be safe to, stick my head back outside of the ground there and go ahead and breathe some fresh air again. It's looking pretty good. And sure would be nice to go to XCon in May with that fresh book in my hand. So in the event you're wondering what I'm talking about the Hunger series. You can find it by myself, Dave Atwell, on Amazon.
Nice.
I think I'm on Barnes & Noble, too, if I'm not mistaken. It's hard to keep up with it. It's
cool.
A moving target, nonetheless.
Nice.
Check them out. Routing Frontier,
Absolutely.
Revelations, Ripper. All of them start with R's. Don't ask me why. But nevertheless, the Hunger Series just happened that way. It was nothing done on purpose. It just, it almost makes you feel like you're obligated to do now. And now you're thinking, okay, if I write 17 books, I'll be down in, like, rectum. rash, think about all those other words, reject.
Get your fat ass back here.
Yeah. Rosy as in cheeks. Yeah, there's all kinds of R words you can keep right on blowing up.
You
gotta
stop, man. Just stop.
Good stuff. Raw would be another one. Yeah, that would definitely get a couple. That'll get a couple of readers.
Rough
but nevertheless, rough and not ready. Well, with all that, we hope everybody has a safe week out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Keep your eyes open and brace
stay
yourself
safe
for impact. Because
yep,
in the event that Russia invades the Ukraine, our gas will go up to about $5.50 a gallon. Because
somebody
in case
needs to
you
go to the
know,
White House and hit the president with a kendo stick.
Since our new leadership, our energy independence has turned into a 30% dependency on Russian oil. So if Russia goes to Ukraine, we're going to protest by not buying Russian oil.
Let Ukraine go. Don't worry about them. You worry about your money and your son's money and your brother's money. F Ukraine. Let them have it back. You better keep your ass and eye on Taiwan with the Chinese.
Yeah.
That's what you need to pay attention to. Screw them. Let them have it back. And you know what you tell Ukraine? Not to get politically here. Tell Ukraine, give up. Put your arms down. Let them have it. Let them take it back. Don't even fight.
To a certain
extent, nobody gets killed.
I don't think Ukraine gives a shit, to be honest with you. I think there's Ukraine families watching U.S. news broadcasts and going, why are they worried?
Yeah, right. They're not going to help us. So they should just lay down their arms and just say, here you go. We're back with y'all. And then we ain't got nothing to do with that. And then you watch the other crap that's going on, like Iran and China, dipshit Kim Jong-un, whatever the fuck his name is. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Interesting times ahead. So whatever you do, folks, keep your eyes open.
Yep.
And just keep your head
don't
in check.
SpaceX satellite that's falling through, it doesn't burn all the way up. Don't let it hit you in the head on the flight down. Dumbasses.
That'll be my luck. I can't win on a lottery ticket, but I'll have that one in a billion chance.
You and me both. I don't play very often at all, like once every 3 or 4 months. And I'll get a lottery ticket, and I'll get a scratch-off. And I'm like, what the hell did I waste that money for?
Yeah. It'll be some errant damn bolt off the size of a SpaceX ship that's hurtling through space at about 1,000,000 miles an hour that'll fry me right in the neck, put me out of commission. But well, with all that being said, speaking of being out of commission, we're going to cue in that little salty British lady and have her put an end to tonight's broadcast. Gentlemen, I appreciate the kinship and the assist tonight.
Yeah,
I hope everybody has a wonderful week. You guys, stay safe. And we will see you here next week with your Super Bowl results.
Yeah.
Everybody. Because you'll have a Super Bowl after eating all that salsa.
Colon cleanse.
Everybody,
sounds like fun time.
Have a good night. From Pop Culture Stars. Later, Herbert.
Bye, Cleo.